Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Matt Clement, we welcome him in right now. We love talking to him, former big leaguer. Matt, good morning to you. How you doing?
Doing well. It seems like we... Is it possible to have as good a weekend in football? It feels like almost an inevitable letdown coming this weekend from the NFL with how awesome last weekend was.
Mr. Positivity, looking forward to the AFC and NFC championships. Thank you much for previewing that. Good stuff.
That actually brings up an interesting question, Matt, because we were talking about this right off the top of the show. And just the feeling that, like, Major League Baseball, have they had in the last 20 years a moment like the NFL had this past weekend that, like, it felt like the entire country was unified and going, oh, my God, that was awesome?
I don't know if another professional sport has.
Yeah.
It went from one to the next, and each one got better. I guess the Bucks-Rams one only seemed good for about a 20-minute time period there at the end of the game, but the Chiefs-Bills one, I felt like going into it, like, this is the game I couldn't wait to see, but can it possibly live up to what we saw? And it was just amazing. I as a former professional athlete, I the first thing I thought of when the game was over was, I can't even imagine getting on that plane as a member of the Bills, just how bummed you would be, just how that went down at the end and how close, you know, how it was there. And it left you in, I guess kind of, I compare it to the when with the Cubs, when we lost to the Marlins and the whole Bartman thing, but that game got stolen. That game got taken out of our hands, and we lost that game in Game 6, and we still had a Game 7. This was different. It was 13 seconds.
Didn't have to fly back to Buffalo, where there's 10 feet of snow on the ground, and it's awful.
Well, it was just such a well played game, and offensively, and what Josh Allen, you know, to come up big and kind of have his moment, but. You know, I guess one of my friends said that's what it takes to knock off Mahomes right now. It's going to take extra stuff at this point. But just great, great entertaining football for a fan for sure.
Answer me this as a former big leaguer, if you would. Everybody's talking about Clements and everybody's talking about Bonds, of course, today. What was Schilling like as a teammate?
I mean, Schilling was very opinionated. Obviously, we see that when we see it on the air, with the things he says and everything else. But he was a fine teammate when I had him, when I was with him. I think he was more at the end of his career, when I was with him and not as boisterous as he might have been when he was younger with the Phillies and maybe when he was really, the Diamondbacks in those years. But, I mean, he was a guy that really studied what he was doing and worked hard and put himself in a position to win and kind of, had that edge. And the one thing you can't take away from Schilling is when it mattered, he showed up. And I think that's his Hall of Fame credentials, in my opinion. He has enough longevity with some good numbers. We're not in the era anymore of you have to win 300 games to get in the Hall of Fame, or you have to hit 500 home runs or all these different things that used to, when I was growing up, those were like the criteria for, 75% of the people getting into the Hall of Fame. So you take that away, and when it mattered most, he showed up, and he really did. He's obviously a person that a lot of people don't like, and don't like that some of the stuff he says and whatever else the case may be. But I always say at the end of the day, you can't take away what he did on the field, especially when it mattered.
I don't think you can argue that David Ortiz, at least in my opinion, David Ortiz is not a Hall of Famer, Matt. But do you believe that maybe he gets in first ballot, and Bonds and Clemens don't get in at all because he was so gregarious. He was Big Poppy. He was friendly. He had a smile, always willing to talk to guys.
I believe that's what happened. Yeah, I do. And I don't know a lot of the negative whatever comes with, you know, it came with Big Poppy. I was his teammate for 3 years, and he was an awesome, awesome teammate, one of the best I had. Him and Manny Ramirez both were. The other two were a little bit more brash. And I say all the time about Bonds. It's, you know, I was thinking about it this morning because I figured we were going to talk about it at some point. The question I get asked most about my playing career was, it's not even close, is who's the best hitter you ever faced? And the question I answer the quickest without thinking is Barry Bonds. And whether Barry Bonds would have been, whether the steroids or the performance-enhancing drugs or whatever the case may be, is the reason why. And I thought about that, too, and I took it to the next level, almost like, well, he still would have been the best hitter I ever faced. He just wouldn't have been as scary to embarrass you by hitting it 700 feet, 600 feet, or something ridiculous. But he was still the best hitter I faced and the hardest hitter to get out, and one of the smartest hitters I faced. And it isn't even like I don't even have a close second when I say that. So,
well, give me more. Give me more. Why is that? Tell me why.
Well, I mean, he was just like the thing about Bonds that I think, you know, most hitters, you have somewhere you can go and get them out. Most hitters, you can maybe get them to chase. The thing with Bonds is, especially left-handers, really hard. Left-handers are really hard, have a tough time when you throw in off the plate. They get you. The good ones still get you, but they usually can't keep it fair. And the thing, Bonds could keep it fair. So it took away the inside part of the plate. He had that big thing on his arm, and he was so, you know, he was so strong that you going inside with effect to hit him or whatever the case may be wasn't gonna bother him. And the other part too was he had such a good eye, like he wasn't swinging at balls. So, you know, at some point you always want to be able to get somebody to chase. I think that's the part when you watch today's day and age with some of these home run hitters, they're still going to chase. Bonds didn't chase. He had such command of the zone. Now he was in the era of where Maddux was getting a couple inches off the plate because he deserved to. And when I say this, I don't complain that Maddux shouldn't have got a couple inches off the plate. At the same time, you had to throw a strike to Bonds.
Do you know where
you weren't getting that call to Bonds? And again, to me, I'm one of the few people who probably look at that and say he deserved that respect by how good he was.
Do you know where you were on April 30th, 2003? By the way,
April 30th, 2003.
Bonds hit one in the water off of you, Matt.
He hit three or four, I think, off me. I don't remember April 30th. I know my first start of my rookie year, like my full rookie year. I pitched a little bit in September, the call-up the year before in 98. But my first start in 99 was, unfortunately, in Candlestick on a night game, and it didn't go well. I don't think he got a home run off me that day. But, one of the more surreal things I did was I had to face Bonds when he had 599 home runs.
Oh my God!
And it was an interesting. I'll try to keep the story short. But night before we played a night game and we were going day game getaway the next day, and so we had played three games there, and I think the first game was whatever happened. He still was at 597. I'm going in. We had a rookie pitching. I think his last name was Smythe for the Cubs. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we used to get to go to the hotel early, get something to eat, get to bed, because we had the early game the next day if you're pitching. And I'm watching the game, eating dinner, and we get him out the first time. I'm thinking, all right, I'm all right. We got him out the first time. I'll have at least a two home run buffer here. Next two at-bats, home run. He goes to 598, 599, at least in the next three at-bats. I can't remember if it was the next two, but he had 599. So my night's sleep wasn't good. I always pitched terrible in San Francisco, not to mention, at the same time. So I rolled in the next day, and I didn't want to be the guy that gave that up. I just didn't want to be the guy. I walked him first at-bat. The only time I've ever struck him out was the second at-bat, and I think I got a pop out the second and the other at-bat, and I was so relieved. And it's funny because at the time, as a pitcher, I remember I was on the brink of McGuire's 500th home run when I was with the Padres when I was young, too. And I was so worried about that. But you know, you rarely see the, so many of those have happened. You rarely see the person that gave one of those up. And I guess you would have been part of history. You at least had something to go with. I guess I'd rather give up Bonds' 600th than the Alex Cora 19 pitch at bat that we hear about every year and see about every year. And my kids just kill me about.
Were you ever told to walk Barry in a situation that where you were like, no, why? Like, I always think back to the time that I forget who it was. Somebody walked him with the bases loaded, right?
I saw that yesterday on Twitter. Somebody said, "How's this guy not in the Hall of Fame when he's getting walked with the bases loaded?"
Were you ever told to walk him in a spot where you were like, "No, I don't want to walk him now"?
I don't think I was. I'm sure I had to intentionally walk him at some point because he was getting like 70 or he was getting like a ridiculous amount of those per month at that time. But I don't remember ever, you know, I would have had more problem with him telling me to walk somebody like McGuire or Sosa or somebody like that than Bonds, because Bonds hit me well. And I always, if I had a problem, it was left-handed hit. Left-handed hitters hit me better than right-handed hitters. I felt with my slider I was going to get a right-hander out. It didn't matter who he was. And the more powerful they were, I was better off. So somebody like Bonds, I probably wouldn't have had a problem where I said, why are you doing this at this point?
Before we let you go real quick, all right, everybody goes and says, well, this is a problem. Bonds should be in, or Clemens should be in, and what's going on with the voting, and it's sports writers, whatever. You tell me, as a former big leaguer who knows Hall of Famers, who's played with Hall of Famers, who knows Poppy and played with Poppy, what's the fix if everybody says it's a problem? How do we fix the voting? What's in an ideal Matt Clement world, how should people be voted into the Hall of Fame?
You know, I wish I had an answer. I actually, again, this is something else I thought you might ask me today. So I was kind of thinking about it today, and I don't know what the process would be. The process has worked pretty dang well until performance-enhancing drugs came along. You had two controversial people that were, you know, Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose, two controversial people really that weren't in the Hall of Fame up until this time. And, you know, I really thought yesterday that kind of the writer, it feels weird that the writers have so much power, but really how do you fix it unless you have, I guess, maybe have the guys in the Hall of Fame vote. I don't know if it would be any different if the guys that were in the Hall of Fame were the ones voting that were still alive. I really don't think it is, because I think some of them resent the fact that they're in there and they did it, whether, you know, they did it without any controversy around them. That they wouldn't snub Bonds or they wouldn't snub Clemens. I've heard some of them say that. I've heard some of them say they don't belong there. I just feel like, you know, I look at those two. There's a lot of people. There's the Palmeiras, the Sosas, all these people that were that are associated at that time, Alex Rodriguez. But to me, those two, I think about my childhood. Roger Clemens was the best pitcher. It wasn't even close. And it was like, you know, there was Dwight Gooden, Doc Gooden got in there, but it was every once, you know, that was a flash in the pan almost like 3 years. Roger Clemens did that from the time I was in. I remember I was in sixth grade in the Mets Red Sox series when Buckner missed the ground ball. And I was pitching against him later on in my life when I was with the Cubs, when he was with the Astros, and he was still a legend. And Bonds the same way. I was in high school when Bonds was playing. So, you know, to me, those two, they deserve to be in there no matter what they did. And they weren't extra nice to me or friendly or anything else. They were the same people they were that everybody else sees. But they were the greatest of their time in their position. So I don't know. I don't know what the process is. I wish I had an answer for you.
Matt Clement. Matt, great, great stuff as always. Insightful. And that's really good stuff this morning and extremely timely. Thank you, Matt. We'll chat again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt.
Really. I mean, to have – what other guy are you going to find that has a connection to Ortiz, Clemens?
Schilling.
And Bonds. I mean,
we had him.
There's no other person.
He's just a basketball coach up in Butler.
Right.
Trying to sneak six guys on the floor.
It's absolutely phenomenal.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.